All right, welcome back in for the Connor Happer Show here on 1620 The Zone. Nebraska basketball coming off yet another loss to Indiana at home on Monday. They're back at Ohio State on Saturday. It doesn't lighten up that much for Nebraska, the Big Ten Conference. But we at least have Chris Basnett to lighten us up. Hi, Baz.
I'm here to brighten everybody's day because, as you know, Happer, I'm a ray of sunshine all the time.
That's what I always call you. Baz, okay. Was there, how much positive was there to take out of Monday, even though ultimately it was the same kind of stuff for them? You know, the late game execution stuff is not there, but you know, I've said this a lot in losses, but it kind of felt like there was a few things to build off of there.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same old story, I think, right? You know, they gave themselves a decent enough chance and could have get it done. And a lot of that is just the way the Big Ten is built. The margins between teams are so thin that you just have to be on the right side of some small stuff. You know, Nebraska has a couple threes pop in and out. They don't go in. Illinois knocks down a couple mid-range, or, you know, the opponent knocks down a mid-range jumper, and they make a couple of those, and that's the difference. You know, you play pretty even as far as second chance points, but you lose it by a couple points, and that adds up. You know, it's stuff like that. It's Geronimo going 4-for-4 from the field for Indiana, you know, and Nebraska just doesn't have the athletes, doesn't have the studs to overcome stuff like that. They just have to have more stuff go their way than other teams if they're going to win. And for whatever reason in the Big Ten this year, it hasn't happened. And it's come down to, and we've heard Fred Hoiberg say it, it's come down to, well, if we would have had a couple of threes rattle in instead of rattle out, or if we would have grabbed this rebound or that rebound, you know, that's where it's at for Nebraska. It's a few plays going their way that just don't go their way because they don't quite have the talent of some of these teams, and it's added up to 8 losses in a row in the league.
You know, it's jumped up. Like, there have been teams that we aren't used to winning, you know, traditionally in the Big Ten. There have been teams that have jumped up. You think about Rutgers over the last couple of years. Penn State's even had some good teams. The common kind of quality about those teams is, number one, they were physical. Number two, they were old. You know, or more experienced, and number three, it felt like they really, and because of their experience, they had that kind of intangible piece to it. We haven't seen a team with the profile of Nebraska, you know, playing the style that they do. Like, we haven't seen that have success in this league really ever. It's almost crazy to think about it that way, and how they're building this thing.
Yeah, it's a deal where, you know, unless Nebraska's going to bring in classes with multiple 4- and 5-star guys where the talent is just so overwhelming that it's going to be tough to overcome, you know, the teams you mentioned, the Rutgers, the Penn States, the Wisconsin's been to the tournament, what, 20 of the last 21 years or something like that? And why is that? It's because they got a bunch of seniors every single year. And you know, they lost a bunch of guys this year, but they still have continuity there, and they still have a system and an identity and a toughness that they recruit to and build to. And Nebraska just hasn't had that. I mean, that's, if you're going to boil it down to anything, that's probably the number one thing you look at. You know, it's the old saying, get old, stay old. And Nebraska has guys that have played a lot of hoops. There's no doubt about that, but they don't have a lot of guys that have played a lot of basketball together. And I think that's a key difference you need to look at when you're talking about this team. They have, you know, Trey McGowan has played a lot of basketball. Kobe Webster's played a lot of basketball. Derek Walker's been to a Sweet 16 with Indiana. You know, he's been around some stuff, but you add in a freshman class, you add in a bunch of transfers every year, and those guys haven't played together. And so they don't know how to win together or how to close games together. So you get into these in-game situations, these close situations, and at collectively, as a team, they don't know how to get it done. And that's maybe the biggest difference between Nebraska and the teams they're playing. The style Nebraska plays, I don't think matters as much. You know, Iowa likes to push the tempo. Michigan State likes to push the tempo. There's teams that want to push the tempo. and play quickly. But they do it with teams that have played together and have won together, and that's, I think, the key difference for Nebraska.
What's your so speaking of that, and they need to even though, you know, this season it might end up with a single digit win total again for Nebraska basketball, I don't think it'd be the worst thing in the world to bring some guys back still from this team to kind of keep going with that continuity. Yeah, you're going to make changes or some sort of changes in the offseason. What is your best guess right now as to what the core of next year's team could look like?
Well, I think the core needs to be more robust than it has been in the past few years, and it's for everything we just talked about. You know, you've got to be able to bring a decent number of guys back, and whether that means, you know, keeping guys, you know, keeping Eduardo Andre, C.J. Wilcher, you know, Caron McPherson around, a guy that hasn't played at all this year that's redshirt and is a pretty good glue guy off the bench. You know, you see his energy on the bench and timeouts and stuff. I think they've got to keep a really good percentage of these guys around. I think that gives them the best chance to win. You know, you're going to lose some guys. You know, you're probably going to lose Bryce McGowan to the NBA, and that's fine. He's got that kind of talent. But maybe you can convince a guy like Trey McGowan to come back for another year. You know, maybe you can convince Derek Walker to come back for another year. If you can keep that younger core largely intact and then add in maybe one or two of those older guys, get them to stick around for one more year. Of course, it's easier said than done. I'm sitting here saying this over the phone. I'm not making the decisions. But if you can do that, that at least gives you something to kind of hold on to and latch on to if you want to talk about continuity and getting old and getting old in the Big Ten.
Well, that's right. Like, maybe it's a tougher sell to the coaching staff, and because I know they want to, like, you know, you want to build a team with the highest ceiling possible. I wouldn't mind taking that ceiling down a little bit for, you know, bringing a little bit of that back. Like having, you know, a guy like Derek Walker is a great example. Not the highest ceiling in the world, but he plays hard, he knows where to be, and he makes a lot of winning plays. Same thing with Trey McGowan's. Like, I wouldn't mind cutting a little bit off of that ceiling just to, you know, get competitive in some of these games.
Let's raise the floor before we raise the ceiling.
Right.
I think that's a good way to put it. You need the bottom to not be in the bedrock, and that's how you do it. You bring back guys that know how to make winning plays. We saw that with Trey the other night. I know that Nebraska didn't win, but look at some of the little stuff Trey McGowan did, fighting over screens. You know, how many guards for Nebraska we've seen fight over the top of the screen this year? Not very many, you know, and it's just being tough on the at the point of attack. It's fighting with an old teammate for a loose ball. You know, it's stuff like that that Nebraska needs to bring back. And if you can, great. Again, that's a tough sell probably for this coaching staff and the way they build, and it's a tough sell for guys like Trey McGowan and Derek Walker who've been in college basketball a long time and are maybe ready to make the next step in their lives or the next step in their careers, whatever you want to call it. So, yeah, it's great to have a high ceiling, and that's a lot of fun to talk about. You know, this team could do this, this team could do this. But right now Nebraska's on the floor, and the floor is pretty low. And the first thing Nebraska needs to do is raise the floor before they can worry about raising the ceiling.
Baz, you know, one of the things that I noticed the other night is you could pick kind of anything with this team that you might notice on a game-by-game basis, and there's a whole bunch of inconsistencies. I notice it on – it manifests itself on the defensive end a lot, and I've asked Fred this question several times over the last couple of years, and it's something that, you know, no coach really has the right formula to. But how do they get them to – stay engaged on the defensive end, even though things might not be going well for them on the offensive end?
I think that's the number one question every college coach has to try and answer. And I don't know what the answer is. You know, it helps if you make more shots. I think that's maybe the simplest way to put it. If you're playing good offensively, it's a lot easier to play good defensively or play hard defensively. And part of that's, it kind of goes back to the culture stuff too, right? Like you need to instill that in your team that they need to care on the defensive end. And again, easier said than done. But if you tolerate a team that wants to have lapses on defense, then you're going to have a team that has lapses on defense. That's just the way it is. You can't tolerate that kind of stuff. And Fred's talked this year about subbing guys out when they take a bad shot on offense. Well, sub a guy out when he doesn't fight through a screen on defense.
Or yeah.
Check a guy out to get a defensive rebound. You know, it's got to be – you've got to get guys to care somehow. And it's the oldest cliche in basketball. Defense and rebounding are about effort. And if guys aren't going to give the proper effort on that end of the floor, there have to be consequences. And I don't know that there have been the proper consequences for mistakes on that end of the floor this year, because you're right. It's we see the same thing in every single game, no matter what the opponent is. It's those same mistakes on that end of the floor that hurt Nebraska.
Yeah, it just, you know, you mentioned it there. Like, when asked about that, he usually goes to, well, you know, it's a lot easier to play defense if you're making shots, so we just got to make more shots. Like, maybe that shouldn't be the message. I don't know, because it has to be, yeah. Either way, it has to be that way all the time. Like you said, you kind of have to get that defensive effort every time. You have to expect that.
Yeah, look, and I hate doing this. I don't know that it's fair, but look at the way Tim Miles coached Nebraska teams. And look at the way Doc Sadler teams played. Were they good on offense? No, but they gave a crap on defense, and it kept them in a lot of games. And it raised the floor of those teams, like we talked about. The ceiling was lower, but the floor was higher, you know, with a lot of those teams. And it was because they cared about stuff like that, because those coaching staffs made those guys care about stuff like that. And I'm not saying Fred needs to change his philosophy and start coaching like his predecessors. It's not like he was brought here, but that's why it worked. Was the ceiling as high with some of those teams? No, but the floor was higher. The potential to be embarrassed was lower. The potential to win fewer than 10 games was lower, because there were consequences, and there were, you know, punishments for not doing those things on the defensive end. Even if Nebraska still did some of those things, there were ways of getting guys to care about it and notice it. So that's, yeah, it's coaching style is a part of it, and that's just the way it is for Nebraska right now.
What do you think it'll look like on Saturday at Ohio State?
I mean, if I've got to guess, probably not pretty. It's a road game. You know, you're playing at Ohio State, a team that came in here and should have lost to you a couple weeks ago. A team that's still kind of working its way back from the COVID pause and trying to get its legs under it. And look, Nebraska did a great job in that game, but it's the same thing we talk about every game. Can they take that on the road with them and give themselves a chance? And so far, by and large, on the road, they haven't done that. Look, they're 1-27 on the road. We probably know what the result's going to end up being if you're just going to play the percentages. But Nebraska's got to find a way to bring that effort and bring something on the road to give itself, you know, a chance at the end. And we talk about that with every game. If Nebraska can get to the last 4 minutes, 6 minutes with a chance on the road against a really good team, you take that. And then you see if your guys can finally figure it out and get over the hump.
Hey, I wanted to commend you, Baz, on voting Auburn number one and, you know, not having to have your Twitter account attacked by several Auburn fans. You're not part of the problem. You're part of the solution.
Being an AP poll voter is incredible, because I've had like people mad at me in the past because I voted West Virginia like 17th instead of 12th. So like it's the teams in the bottom half that get way more mad about it than the teams at the top half is what I've discovered.
You should just the question is, how much integrity do you have? But you
zero.
Know, okay, so I don't know, maybe you just throw a 25th spot up there for Nebraska 1 week. I don't know.
Maybe I'll think about it. Maybe if they beat Ohio State, I'll vote Nebraska 25th.
Look, there's some people who probably vote in the poll who are just guessing or go off of like KenPom ratings or something like that. So I don't know that it'd be that ridiculous. You watch you watch a bunch of college basketball. You could make up some sort of argument for it.
Yeah, I mean, probably not Nebraska, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Throw somebody in there. All right, Baz, appreciate the time as always, man. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, Connor. Appreciate the time.
Chris Bazinet from the Lincoln Journal-Star, also AP poll voter, who had Auburn number one this week. Not Jesse Newell, who had Auburn number nine and then got attacked. I don't think that I would want to vote in an AP poll and have my poll exposed every week. But
yeah, that would have been bad if you had said that.
You might as well just go through with it, you
yeah.
know?
No,
we've
no,
already
no.
crossed that line a few times during
you
this show.
Said it, yeah. What I was going to say, and now just feels like a meaningless point.
POLL. pull.
College basketball seems like a weird one to get upset about ranking, because you really just got to get in the tournament.
That's what the I can't remember who called in the other day, but he was like, "Look, I don't pay attention to it. I commend you, but I gotta say, like when Creighton's in that world, when Creighton's in that conversation, you know, like I said, I gave the example the other day. They're like knocking on the door of the top 10 or something like that. I'm every vote matters. Now I'm not gonna attack somebody for not voting Creighton in the right place, but I'm going to look at who voted where and not take any action on it. I'd like to have a vote for, I had a vote for player of the college basketball player of the year 1 year.
Oh, wow.
The Wooden Award, one of the players of the year. I don't know what the official one is. I had a vote for that 1 year. I just voted for the guy that everybody, you know, kind of thought,
everybody thought
was going to win.
I think he's going to win. So
it was the, it was the Frank Mason year. And I was like, yeah, I've researched this. I've watched a lot of college basketball. I also think Frank Mason was the player of the year this year. Give Happer a vote. That's the next new thing. Give Happer an AP poll vote.
For anything? Or
for anything, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'd love to vote. Big voting guy. We'll take a break. Odd News up next on 1620 The Zone.